Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have given all things good to your children. And Lord, today, I know that if we would open it up for more testimonies, there would be more testimonies of what you have done this week. In the midst of darkness, in the midst of death, in the midst of cancer, in the midst of sickness, in the midst of all these things, your light has penetrated, Father God. Your healing power, your grace has been declared sufficient. And Father, we thank you, Lord God, for that which you have given us as we use it for your kingdom glory, Father. Pray that we would be good stewards, Lord, of those things that you have given to us, Lord. Father, it is our Christian mandate to give. It is who we are. It is what we're about. And Lord, I pray that, Father God, that you would help us to wear that mantle well. Father, help us, Lord God, to serve you in this and every other thing. Lord, on this day, we've already prayed at the beginning of this service for, Lord, to remember those that have served in other conflicts around the world. Those that, Lord, wear the uniform today. Father, we pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to be mindful of all things that you have done for us through others. And we will give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, if you could turn to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. I just have one little bit of a verse. That doesn't mean that it'll be a little bit of a sermon. That just means a little bit of a verse. Romans chapter 12, chapter 13, verse 14. We'll read this whole text. Oh, as you give. Amen? I have part of the verse up here on the PowerPoint presentation, but I want to read the whole verse. Now, it is not a good hermeneutic, as our brother Daniel could tell me after, never to start a text with a but. You know, because you're missing the other half, right? I mean, if you're starting with a but, well, what about what's but what, you know? But for the sake of time, I want you to read these other things that are previous to this, and we'll start with a but, verse 14. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have an NIV or another version, it will say this, likely. But clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Let me say it again. But clothe yourselves, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we ask, Lord, again, Holy Ghost of God, lead, direct, and guide your children as we study thy word, O Lord. May your Spirit, God, grant us the unction to know what you're saying to the church today. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 As we approach Remembrance Day on the 11th of November, and as we have the activities of, well, World Day of Prayer for the Persecution Church, as comes into this, as we've had a Cuban pastor with us even last week, and so we have been able to get a little bit understanding of what it is like to be a pastor or to be a Christian in a country where there is persecution. But as this nation, let's focus on this nation today. Let's focus on this nation. What is God saying to the church through the activities of time, through what is going on in our own nation? We are living in a time where we still are feeling the aftershocks of the events of several weeks ago. And this and the people are still feeling it. I heard Raymond mentioning in the back there, and I confirm it that from what I said on television, that this year the poppies are disappearing. People are wearing poppies more than they ever have before. And Remembrance Day services are likely having more attendance than they have in the past. Even the NDP is asking for Remembrance Day to be a national holiday. Wow! Think of that. And so things are taking place in our nation. Obviously, you think of these NDP guys who traditionally would not be in favor of these kind of things. But don't forget, they were a few weeks ago, hiding behind tables with gunfire. Doesn't that change your perspective on things? Huh? Think about that. Yeah. But what I want to look at, what is the Spirit of God saying to the church from these kind of events? One of the saddest things, it's interesting, it was certainly sad for us to hear about the loss of our soldiers in the midst of these things, but one of the saddest things that hit me prophetically in these things was when they announced in the middle of it all this statement, all military personnel are asked not to wear their uniforms in public so as not to become a target of the enemy. I don't know about you, but when I heard that, it hurt. Now, I'm a good Anabaptist, a Mennonite whatever guy, you know. I mean, what are you talking about as far as your understanding of military things is a little bit different for me. But, you know, it hurt because I could feel the sense of something taking place in our nation. I could feel the fear. My response was beyond disappointment. It was I could feel something going on in our nation that was just wrong. It hit me so hard that I knew it was a prophetic thing announcing to the church in Canada not to respond to the enemy's attack by taking off our uniforms. I believe, you see, friends, in times of crisis, there is an increase in prophetic activity that the church needs to listen into. As God wants to get His message out to the church through the events that are going on around them, in times of crisis, you should look to the world, that is to say, look to what's happening, but listen to God. Look to the world, look to the news, see what's going on, see what's taking place around you, but friends, listen to God. What is the Spirit of God saying? Because I believe in God, and I believe in a personal God, and I believe in a God who loves His bride and loves His church and has plans for them, and nothing takes place in all of creation that doesn't have some kind of purpose. And when a nation is shaken by events, I believe the church needs to listen very carefully as to what God is saying. The order not to wear uniforms in public, we know, was retracted 2 days later. But notice that it was our immediate reaction. And I don't want to be highly critical of those in leadership in the military, but what I'm saying is this, this is our immediate reaction. And you know what? That's our reaction in the church too. This is what the enemy wants the church to do in the face of persecution, is to hide and become a clandestine army of cowards who fear any public recognition that might out them as a member of Christ's body, as a follower of Jesus Christ. And so it is in this context that I take this scripture, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and I am applying it to us to put on our uniforms of Jesus Christ. When times of crisis come to our nation, it is actually more comforting, friends, to see more people in uniform. Psychologically, when you see more people in uniform, you feel a comfort in that. You feel more secure. You feel reassured. You feel that things are going to be all right, that your homes are safe, that you can travel safely, that commerce can continue as normal. That's what the uniform does. But we, as Christians, hide our calling and our Christianity behind a veil of anonymity in the public. Pastors today, I'm afraid, dress like they're part of the Secret Service. Never dressing in public for them people to know that they're pastors. Now, I don't always wear my clerical collar in public. I do, oftentimes, and this is part of why I wear a clerical collar. Is to be identified, not for you folks, duh, you know, but what's that? But for the world, you know? to be identified that we're serving the living God. You know, one day I was in Tim Hortons or somewhere, I don't remember where it was, and somebody came up to me, and I wasn't wearing my clerical collar, and they said, "Are you a pastor?" And I said, "Yes, I am. How did you know?" They said, "You just look like a pastor." That's what I want. I want to look like a pastor, even without the clerical collar. I just want to have a presence that I'm a pastor, that I'm a shepherd, and that whoever that sees me will know this. What is he? I think he's a pastor. Friends, sometimes we have the little fish on our car. Isn't that cute? You know, the ichthus, which is the word fish in Greek, which is an ancient symbol of the church, which the church used to identify each other in times of severe persecution. Are we being severely persecuted in the church today? Are we being hauled out and fed to lions like they were when they used the little fish symbol? Hardly. I had a guy at the hospital yesterday at the, you know, I have my gospel signs, you know, I'm rather obvious. This guy said, honked the horn at me and put his finger like that, you know, whatever else, you know, and I rolled down my window because we were at a stop. And anyways, he pulled back his jacket and he had Jesus is Lord thing underneath his jacket. It was like, now, you know, I mean, it was just, you know, yes, he knows Jesus, that's great, but, you know, I just felt like we were exchanging some kind of code, you know, I, guess what, I'm with you, you know. It was so neat. But anyways, we tend to be clandestine. We tend to be quiet about it. And, you know, I understand we have personalities that are different. But the kind of persecution that may well be on its way for us and has already arrived for many of our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world are for those who clearly identify themselves as followers of Jesus Christ. Our brothers and sisters around the world are being persecuted every day because they proudly wear the uniform of Jesus Christ. They are identified as Christians in the public spectre. Peter encourages us. He says this: be strong in your faith. Now that alone is a good statement. Amen. Be strong in your faith. Don't be weak in your faith. Don't be mediocre in your faith. Don't be lazadelical in your faith. But be strong in your faith. Remember that your Christian brothers and sisters all over the world are going through the same kind of suffering that you are. Friends, that contextually in the first century doesn't make a whole lot of sense to us, because I can say this very much, that my brothers and sisters all over the world are suffering a lot more than I am. It just ain't the same. The suffering that Peter talks about goes hand in glove with living as God wants us to live. If you read the verses leading up to Romans chapter 13 and verse 14, it talks about holiness, a standard. It talks about a way of living. And that is apparently those that are walking in this way of living. He says at the end of that, he says, now clothe yourselves, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet we are afraid to bow our heads in a restaurant and say grace in public. And on a day like today, when we think that thousands upon thousands of men and women gave their lives so that we could have freedom, and yet we won't bow our head in public. We won't identify ourselves as a Christian. That we hold back. That we are somewhat embarrassed about those that do. Daniel wasn't afraid, amen. I like Brother Daniel. Daniel in the Bible, he wasn't afraid to pray even when the law said he wasn't allowed to pray. What did he do? He kept on his same journey. Even though the enemies were laying a trap for him, he still continued to pray 3 times a day. He did not take off the uniform, even though the enemy was looking for it to target him. He kept his uniform on. He never took away those things which identified him as a follower of Jehovah. He never took off the uniform that identified him as a child of the living God, the God of Israel. You know, in our own nation today, we honor the old soldiers. Hey, Gary. Gary's got his medal on today coming to church. You know, today and up to Remembrance Day, those that wear their medals and wear their uniform in public get free rides on our transportation system in Ottawa. We recognize those that have served, and we look at their medals and we look at the uniform and we say, you get a free ride. We honor them. And because they wear it in public, we are able to publicly identify them as those who have served. Why is it that when the church thinks and speaks of those old soldiers of the faith, we too talk about how these pioneers who served the Lord, who were fervent in spirit, who were full of the Holy Ghost, who stood on the street corner and preached Christ, who went into places that their lives were made a living testimony of persecution. We exalt those old soldiers of the faith. Yet we ourselves don't want to wear our uniform in public. You know, in wartime, if a person who is a member of the armed services is out of uniform during wartime, they can be court-martialed. Do you know that? If you're out of uniform, when you're on duty, when the war is on, when you're in a conflict zone, and you're not wearing your uniform, you can be charged. Unless, of course, you have special permission. Unless, of course, you're part of a clandestine group that is officially clandestine. You're a spy or whatever it may be. You are to be in uniform. Friends, we are in a battle as well. We are in a war zone, a spiritual battle. We are not to be out of uniform. Here's what A.W. Tozer once said. He said, The Christian in our nation no longer sees the world as a battleground, but as a playground. We are not here to fight, but to frolic. We are not in a foreign land, but we are comfortably at home. He goes on to say in his book, he says this, the soldier dead in battle who died performing a solemn deed of heroism is not a great loss to the army, but rather may be an object of pride to his country. On the other hand, the soldier who cannot or will not fight but runs away at the first sound of the enemy gun is a shame to his family and a disgrace to his nation. So is a Christian who dies in the faith, representing no irreparable loss to the forces of righteousness on the earth, but certainly no victory for the enemy, no victory for the devil at all. But when the whole regiment of professed believers are too timid to fight, too smug to be ashamed of it, surely it must bring a stringent smile to the face of the enemy and a blush to the cheeks of the whole church of Christ. I go back again to the events of a couple of weeks ago. Here's what some of the response was from some of our military men when it came to the question of your uniform. One said this, the Globe and Mail, I've been wearing it for so long, it's part of my skin. It's part of me. Is that how you feel about your faith in Christ? I have been wearing it for so long, it's part of my skin, it's part of me. How am I to take this thing off? I don't know how. Another one says this, a uniform is everything to the soldier. It identifies us to other nations, to the people of our own country. Nobody wanted to take it off. So what is our uniform, friends, as a Christian? Is it the armor of God? Ephesians chapter 6 talks about the whole armor of God, and I would say, sure, that certainly is part of our uniform. The breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, these are all parts of the armaments of the uniform. But really, it's deeper than that. Really, it's more than that. You see, first of all, of course, it means being born again. To put on the Lord Jesus Christ, to have Him, to clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ means that He's part of you. And you're part of Him. To put on the Lord Jesus Christ is in the imperative in this text in Romans chapter 13 verse 14. Clothe yourselves! It's like a call, you know, when these professional firemen are there and they're in their bed and all of a sudden the alarm goes off and they come and they run to the alarm and they jump on the little pole and they run down and they jump into their boots and they jump into their uniform, of course, and they hit the road. It's like the alarm that sounded, put on your uniform, put on your uniform, put on your uniform. And our uniform in this case is the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the imperative is stronger than just wearing a clothing or wearing uniform. It's even stronger than picking up armor to defend yourself or to fight in a battle. But rather, let the Lord Jesus Christ be our uniform. It does not mean just an association with Jesus, but identifying ourselves with Him so that when they attack us, they are attacking Him. What did Jesus say to Paul, the Apostle Paul, you know, when he was Saul, when he was persecuting the church, when he was having a grand old time kicking the snot out of the believers, right? Remember that? And he had a Damascus Road experience and he come and Jesus has this intervention with Paul. Isn't it great to have an intervention with Jesus? Amen. And Jesus comes to him and says to him, and or stops him on his way. He's on his way to persecute the church. And Jesus shows up and says, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? What was he saying? What was Jesus saying in that encounter with Saul? He was saying, you touch my people. You touch me. You see, to clothe yourselves, to put on the Lord Jesus Christ is not only to identify yourself with Jesus, but rather that His righteousness, woo, glory, becomes our cloak. That when they see us, they see Him. When they hate us, they hate Him. When they try to hurt us, they hurt Him. That is what it means to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, friends. It's not sticking a cross in your lapel. It's not having a sticker on your car. It's not dressing up with a clerical collar and identifying yourself as part of a religious professional clergy. But it is to be so identified with Jesus Christ that people will see Christ in you. Woo! Friends, are you wearing your uniform? Well, I got baptized and joined the church and did all this. No, no, friends. Are you wearing your uniform? Do people see Christ in you? This is really what it means to wear your uniform. You know, we all felt the sting of death when Corporal Cirillo fell that day, and we watched it live on television. And we saw that man wearing his Highland uniform, and as a Highlander myself, you know, from the Lanark Highlands, and being a Scotsman background, my mother's side, you know, I mean, you see that, and we identify with that, and we see him, and you know what? I felt the pain, you felt the pain, and friends, the whole nation felt the pain. We felt like we were being attacked. We were under attack. Not one guy standing at a memorial, but a nation was under attack. When they attack one of us, they attack us all. That's what it means to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Wesley says this about this text. Brother John Wesley says that to clothe yourself with Christ is as strong and as beautiful an expression for the most intimate union with Him. Friends, I have to ask the question, when people see you, do they see Jesus Christ? Or are you part of the Secret Service? Do you make yourself a target to the enemy? Hey, don't worry about that, because we win. You know, we can, you know, the enemy is, you know, we want to talk about the enemy. I don't like to talk too much about the enemy, but you know what? Let's just say a few things about the enemy. We are not ignorant of his devices. That's what Paul said. That's where to be. Amen. We're not to be stupid. We're not to be ignorant. We're not to be out in the dark of his devices. He has certain strategies, and we have certain ways of defeating Satan. Amen. Because we have been given the tools and the authority to do it. And one thing is, the guy and his little demon host are so weak that when you come out and say, hit me, they just got to do it. You know? They take the bait every time. They go for it all the time. And so, friends, you're afraid of becoming a target because you know that the enemy's going to whack you. Yes, he will. Well, we better not wear our uniform then. We better not identify ourselves with Christ. We better hide our Christianity and just bring it on Sunday morning to church and keep it in our homes and not let people know out there at work and in the Tim Hortons and other places. And as we drive down the road, we better hide our Christianity and be just good little citizens of the nation then, because we don't want to become targets of the enemy. Friends, let the enemy take a swing at you. Let him take a swing at you. Duck in Jesus' name. Amen. He'll go for it every time. It is the nature of the enemy to want to destroy the image of Christ. Here is what John Bevere said, this a great author, wrote a number of great books. He said this: if you live as the world lives, then you'll not be bothered with persecution because you're already a prisoner of war. Get it? You don't need to wear your uniform if you're a prisoner of war. He's already got you. It is the soldiers that are under fire who are free. Can I read that again? It is the soldiers who are under fire who are free and fighting to take the enemy territory. Amen. Armed and dangerous. That's what God wants His church to be. Friends, I can't promise you that we won't be free from tribulation. In fact, I can promise you that we will receive it. Isn't that great? I will promise you that tribulation will come. I can promise you that that is clear of the Scriptures, that there is no, even as far as I'm concerned, in end times things. You can disagree with me if you wish. But Christians are to prepare themselves full of faith and understanding that the enemy will always try to come against us. Jesus said that in this world you shall have tribulation. Amen. I got one. Glory. He did not say that you might have it. He did not say that you, well, it's possibility. He said that you will have it. Paul says this in Acts 14. He says, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. He says this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. He says, no one should be shaken by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that these things are appointed for you. Now, why is it that we think that we're so special? Why is it that we think that our North American lifestyle is so special, is so righteous, is so wonderful, that we ourselves are not going to suffer any tribulation? But those guys, well, you know what, they must deserve it. Friends, the fact that we have any freedoms at all is the grace of God in this nation. It is because of people's prayers. It is because of righteousness that goes way back. It ain't just today, friends. I tell you what, it is a righteousness that goes back that keeps this place safe today. We celebrate today Remembrance Day. We celebrate those that have given their lives that we could have freedoms. It's not that those that today have given their lives, even though people today do, but it's a combined effort that has gone on that gives us our freedoms. And today, friends, I tell you what, we will experience tribulation. We are appointed to hardship even as a good soldier goes to war. And friends, I tell you this, we are at war, but not with flesh and blood. But they will use flesh and blood. I get concerned. Oh, help me not go on a rant at 5:12, Lord. I get concerned about the teaching that people get on the television. I get concerned about the teaching that comes out over the radio. I get concerned about sometimes this understanding that young Christians get that if you just come to Jesus, everything's going to be fine. That if you come to Jesus, everything's going to be okay. Listen, you'll never have any problems. Your wallet's going to be full of money. Everything's going to be just rosy. If you come to Jesus, friends, it's going to be a battle. That's what Jesus promised. I can say this to new believers. You're in for the battle of your life. Come and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's fun. But we will win. He has never taken us out of tribulation. He has always seen us through tribulation. That's what His Word teaches. And yet, a lot of teaching out there says contrary to that. We're preparing believers for an easy believism, and when it gets real hard, guess what? They don't know what to do. And friends, it will get hard. In this nation, it will get hard. And those who endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. I got to get to the second point. It's a short one. The second powerful prophetic truth that is being revealed in our nation is that uniforms and roles that were seen as ceremonial have become battle fatigues. We had two dress uniforms. The Highlander uniform. I mean, Canadians haven't went to battle in a kilt since the first part of World War II. Then they found out this don't work in the trenches. You know? It just became a dress uniform. We love the kilts, you know, those of us that have heritage in that. We love to see the kilts and the pipes and the marching and all this kind of stuff. But it is seen largely as a ceremonial outfit. And then, of course, there was a sergeant of arms. This ceremonial outfit. This ceremonial position. What I believe the Spirit of God is saying to the church is that He wants to turn the ceremonial positions into their purpose-filled battle fatigues. What was once seen as a ceremonial role, standing on guard, has become manifested into reality. What one man was doing, standing on guard at a war memorial, which was symbolic, purely ceremonial, purely symbolic. He's standing on guard for some. All of a sudden, the manifestation of the principle has exploded into our nation. That this is real, friends. That he was standing on guard for real purposes. All of a sudden, a ceremonial role that for 500 years in our British system of government has been symbolic. The sergeant of arms, the guy that carries the weapon into Parliament, it's called a mace, It has the king's or the queen's seal on it, and it represents a defending, a sword and a mace are the two tools. In this case, we've given him a gun and a mace. He used to have a sword and a mace. Now he has a gun and a mace. This ceremonial position for all of the years, the first few hundred years when the king appointed the sergeant of arms, it was there to defend the speaker of the house against the ruffians of parliament going and beating him up. The king put his man in there and said, okay, this guy is there. If anyone tries to beat up the speaker, he'll stop him. Then after King Henry VIII, the Parliament reaffirmed the role of the Sergeant of Arms, and it was then he was there to defend him against the rogues of the king, who might come in and disturb to try to stop the vote in Parliament. And so this ceremonial role that he bears, this armor, he bears this symbol that he, the king, says, I will defend my parliament. Many of us have now seen this explosion of reality. When this ceremonial role for the last 500 years, friends, how many of you can think that far back, can hang on to that kind of thing? A role that has continued on for 500 years. All of a sudden, the moment when he took out his sword, the king's sword, in this case it was a revolver, and though I'm a great pacifist, and when he emptied his clip into that man, all of a sudden the ceremonial role of defending the parliament exploded into a manifestation of reality. I got to get to my point. What the Spirit of God is saying to the church is the things that have become tradition, the things that have become merely ceremonial, God wants to restore their purpose. I could name a few of them. You know that marriage has become in our nation meaningless. That marriage has become a ceremony that doesn't have any meaning because two guys, two gals, a dog, a cat, whatever can get together and get a piece of paper that says they're married. And so we have decided, and listen, let's just talk about heterosexual marriages. We'll get a marriage today and we'll take off the next week or whatever else and it won't make any difference. And so this great ceremony that God has given to us has become almost meaningless. It's just a ceremony. It's just a piece of paper. Have you heard that before? God wants to explode the meaning of marriage. Because when things get tough, when tribulation comes, and it is coming, and when things get hard, friends, all of a sudden this little piece of paper, all of a sudden this little covenant, all of a sudden this old-fashioned ritual, I believe, is going to explode with reality. Means something. You know, pastors have become a ceremonial symbol of old-fashioned values. Not old-fashioned values, just old. Forget the values, because most pastors don't have any values that stick with the Scriptures. They drag us in occasionally to do a... And thank God that we do live in North Dundas and Dundas County, where they still drag the preacher in to say grace at a meal every now and then at the township office. And they still bring us in and prop us up there, you know, at the mayor's breakfast. I was had the privilege of doing the prayer at the mayor's breakfast. You know, they prop up the preacher in the corner. You know what? I'm a prop, you know. I appreciate it, you know, but still, you know, we're rural people, and well, I guess we better have a minister. I'm glad for that. Because in the city they don't have that anymore. But at least we have the prop. So here I am propped up in the corner. I represent the church. I represent the heritage of our community. I am a ceremonial representative. We'll have today in Winchester and very other places, we will have pastors involved in a ceremony of remembrance, where they get that one little chance in the year to stand and say a prayer in public. Or maybe in a public school even. And be able to say a prayer. And they prop us up because for some reason they still have these crosses, because those guys in Flanders Field, they had crosses. And so the cross is still seen in the public school, even though there are elements that would love to remove that even, but you know, that's just not politically correct enough, so we have to keep the crosses there. So all these ceremonial things, these pastors, these leaders, all of a sudden, we're just ceremony, we're just part of the backdrop, but I believe God wants to explode the reality of leadership. I want the pastors, I believe God wants pastors and leaders to explode their purposes into our community, that they will turn to the church, amen, that the church will no longer be just that nice stone building or that pretty structure that people go to for weddings and to funerals, but rather it will be a place more important than the hospital, it'll be more important than the post office. It will be more important than the Bureau of getting your license. Amen, sister. Amen. It will be more important than the government. It will be the most important place in the community. It will go from being a ceremonial, dead, lifeless thing to stepping into an explosion of reality. That's what will happen, friends, when tribulation comes. That's what happens when hard things take place. God explodes His church, and the real church will stand up and say, and people will say, we need Jesus. Is there an amen in the house?
Amen.
But it takes an army of believers who are not ashamed to call themselves Christian, who will put on the Lord Jesus Christ and will wear their uniform with pride. Not the pride of this world, friends, but the pride of saying, Jesus Christ has bled for me. Has the old bishop in Ephesus before, as they put the flames to the bottom of the stoke of fire to burn him, as they offered that one last chance, and they said, renounce Jesus. He said, I'm 84 years old. He said, 84 years, the Lord has been good to me. Why should I in this moment renounce Him? God has given us a uniform to wear and an authority to use. Don't be afraid to become a target, because with the authority, you will win. With the uniform, you become a target. The uniform of Jesus Christ, you become a target. But with the authority of Jesus Christ, you're a winner. Let's flush the devil out into the open. You know, I have, right now in North Lanark, you can't step out of your vehicle without getting shot if you've got something brown on. If, as they said, if it's brown, it's going down. I mean, I was in the, you know, this place is alive. It's crawling with people in their orange, you know, outfits and whatnot. You know, I mean, they're out there. And it's most dangerous time because, you know, the deer are crossing the roads and whatnot. They're on the run and they're flushing them all out and everything's taking place, you know. And you know, don't be afraid to wear your uniform. Don't be ashamed. Because let me say this, friends. If you're ashamed of Him, He'll be ashamed of you. You know, when it comes to the gates of glory, only uniformed people are entered in. Only people who put on the Lord Jesus Christ enter into the gates of glory. Only those that wear the uniform with pride are those that will see through things, not just getting to heaven, but will see through things that are coming to this earth. And those that are afraid or ashamed will not endure unto the end. I'm going to call Carol to come and call the praise team to come at this time. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank You, Lord, for the great uniform that You have given us in Jesus Christ. Father, I thank You, Lord, that You have allowed Yourself to come to us, that we can clothe ourselves in You, that it's not us that is represented in this world, but Lord, we want to represent You in this world. Lord, help us not to be ashamed. Help us not to be afraid, for You paid the ultimate price in Your blood on the cross. You overcame, You bought our freedoms with Your blood, And now, Lord, we are free because of Your sacrifice. Father, forgive us for not wearing our uniform with pride. Forgive us, Lord, for being afraid of the pipsqueak little enemy that is out there that wants to cause trouble. Help us to see Him as You see Him. We see Him as a roaring lion seeking whom He may devour. And He is. But You see Him as a teethless pussycat. Help us, Lord, to be part of the army of the Lord Jesus Christ that will march forward into battle and will be victorious every time. In Jesus' name, would you stand? We have a chorus that I wish to close in. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. It's a simple chorus today. I take this as an altar call today, friends. If you would like to come, and if you, something has happened in your life, if you want to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, in the sense if you put the uniform and put it in your closet, amen, if there's something that has taken place in your life and somehow you have not been, you've become afraid or ashamed to be declared as a child of the living God, or perhaps you've never put on the Lord Jesus Christ, perhaps you're not born again, perhaps you've never enlisted into the army of God. Friends, you better get enlisted. Because they take no prisoners out there. Let's sing this song.
I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength and all I am. I will seek to honor His commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb.
Put your hand in the air. Put your hand over your heart.
With all my strength.
Say, I pledge allegiance. I am a soldier of the living God. I'm not ashamed to be called a Christian. I'm ready for whatever battle lies ahead.
I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. I've heard how Christians long ago were brought before a tyrant's throne, and they were told that He would spare their lives if they would renounce the name of Christ. But one by one they chose to die. The Son of God, they would not deny, like a great angelic choir sings. I can almost hear their voices ring. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. With all my strength, with all I am, I will seek to honor His command. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb.
Now the years have come.
Yes, they have.
And the years have gone.
Oh, but the cause of Christ.
But the cause of Jesus still goes on. And now the time has come.
Today is the day of salvation.
To count the cost. To reject this world. To embrace the cross. And one by one. Let us live our us proudly dare.
Let us boldly say.
And
Come on, boldly say.
I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength, with all I am, I will seek to honor His commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb.
Key change.
I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength, with all I am, I will seek to honor His commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Who took my place, who wore my shame, I will seek to honor His commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb.
Now maybe Him be glory, laud, dominion, power, and praise, were without end. Now may you go as a victorious army, having guaranteed the victory over the enemy. Go forth wearing your uniform of Christ's righteousness with pride that you are His child. Go in the knowledge of these things. Into this world of grief, may you be light, may you be peace, may you be the walking image of Christ. Amen. I pledge
allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength. With all I am, I will seek to honor His commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb of God, who bore my pain, who took my place, who wore my shame. I will seek to honor His commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord, we once again pledge our allegiance to You, Father God. Name of Jesus, help us, Lord, to wear our uniform with pride.
Pledge allegiance
to the Lamb
with
all my strength.
With all I am, I will seek to honor His commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb.
And all of a sudden I looked